Welcome back, and it's a pleasure to welcome filmmaker Amir Barlev to the Midday Show. Welcome.
Thanks, Adam. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, no, real glad to reconnect. Let me just read this for the audience because there's a special screening of your latest documentary called The Last First, Winter K2, which is about to have a screening on Thursday, August 13th, thanks to Upstate Films at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties and hosted by the Woodstock Film Festival. So let me just read a little bit about the film and about you, and then we'll jump right in. In The Last First, Winter K2, Amir Barlev tells a complex, harrowing, and moving story that unpacks the industry of extreme mountain climbing and its changing culture. Focusing on the 2021 expedition, mountaineers John Snorri, you're going to jump in and correct me, okay? But I'm going to say Sigurd Johnson or Janssen.
I just
Johnson?
call him John
Sigurd.
Snorri because I had the same problems that you
Oh,
just
John
had.
Snorri. That works. An
Yeah.
Icelander and Pakistani father-son team Ali and Sajid Sudhpara, excuse me, set out
Actually, you
to be
got
the,
it. Yeah.
thank you, to be the first to summit K2 in the winter. Oof, when the mountains conditions are their cruelest. The men soon find themselves sharing the treacherous ascent with influencer climbers and their film crews, commercial expedition clients, and Nims, a Nepalese, excuse me, celebrity mountaineer and his team of Sherpas. The last first, I beg your pardon, Winter K2 takes us to the icy heights and unpredictable weather of K2 and reveals a surprising and layered story, one of strategy and determination, class and caste, money and power, all under life and death circumstances. And let me just let people know some of your other work real quick. Your past documentaries include Fighter, a big favorite of mine. My kid could paint that. The Tillman Story, Happy Valley, Long Strange Trip, which is when you did my podcast, actually. And this new film, and of course, you also were a producer on one of my favorite documentaries ever made. And I've gotten to be real good friends with the filmmakers, Trouble the Water. What a career. Amir Barlev, welcome to WKZE and the Midday Show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for
Yeah.
that nice introduction.
All right. What the heck? Did you ever have to go to these
No, I
locations during the winter?
didn't.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, no, I got involved 3 years after the events that take place in the film. And one of the things that the film is about is the fact that these days, when you go up to the high Himalayas or these other, the highest peaks in the world, that somebody in the film says, "Yeah, you used to bring just a chef and maybe the Sherpa team. Now you bring the chef, the Sherpa, and the documentary filmmaker or the videographer." So I was very fortunate that everybody up there was filming, even if just with their iPhones, and
Okay.
it helped. It obviously helped me not have to go up to 8,000 meters, but it also is a thematically interesting thing because the film is about social media and documentaries as much as it's about mountaineering.
Well, explain that.
Yeah, I think people have been doing brave things and wanting to talk about it ever since, cave drawings, right? And certainly very few people climb the highest mountains in the world without there being fanfare back home at sea level. But these days, we all carry around a camera in our pockets with our phone, and we have this social media outlet for everything we do, even if it's just taking pictures of our dinner. And so when people do these very, very death-defying achievements, there's a whole expectation in a sense of disseminating the information on social media or making a film. And that's interesting, right? Because it makes it slightly more dangerous in a way, because who wants to come back and say, "Yeah, we got close to the summit, but the conditions didn't look great, so we turned back." You put a lot of time and in this with these high altitude mountaineering events, you put a lot of money into it. And so there's a tremendous amount of pressure to succeed. And I'm not a mountaineer. I'm a documentary filmmaker. And so one part that really interests me is what degree of pressure comes from my ilk, the documentary filmmakers, right? So, that's a very, very popular type of documentary these days are these mountaineering documentaries.
Right.
And I have to admit that I love some of them, and other ones I feel a little weird about. And I hope that what we've done
Ethical
here.
stuff you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about ethical stuff. But these are just interesting questions around documentary in a way. But obviously, as you said in the intro there, there's life or death consequences when you're dealing with, the top of the world, K2, Everest. We've tried to make something that appeals to people who love adrenalized mountaineering films. This is certainly one of them, in the sense that there's, it's a riveting survival tale that not everybody makes it through. And at the same time, we've tried to distinguish ourselves a little bit. I don't know if we've succeeded, but we've tried to question the medium a little bit and sort of talk about some of the sea level issues that are also at play. When I started delving into this, I was surprised, and then I realized I shouldn't have been surprised, to the degree that, when you go to the ends of the earth or you go to these forbidden places, you bring along humanity. That's what's interesting about most science fiction, right? It's like they go to the planet Zargon, yet they brought their own human foibles or whatever. This is not unlike that. When you go up to the top of K2 or even the base camp of K2, it's like being on the moon, right? And you go there, and you're at a base camp with, let's say, 50 other humans from various other places, also from various other socioeconomic places in life. And that in and of itself is an interesting story, right? Because only
Right, of
the
course.
wealthiest, people in the world essentially can become mountaineers, and only the poorest people in the world, I'm maybe stereotype or generalizing a little bit,
Generally,
but certainly the people in the Balti region of Pakistan, by where those mountains are among the poorest in the world. And so they're in these life or death situations with some of the wealthiest people in the world. So there's a class story going on. There's a gender story going on. There's a story about summit fever, and then I already mentioned this story about kind of storytelling, right? The role of all the cameras there, and this was a really interesting particular expedition because it was right at the end of the pandemic, and the mountaineering world, like the rest of us, had been sort of quarantined for a while, and itchy to get back out there. And the very first of the countries that have these high mountains to open up and say we're opening back up for business was Pakistan. So when they did that, there was a inrush to K2. K2 is not as high as Everest. It's the second highest mountain in the world, but it's the most dangerous. Statistically, it's been, sort of maybe Annapurna, you could say, but those two mountains, more people die. It's way more dangerous than Everest is. And they flooded in, not just because the pandemic was over, but also because one of the last firsts, the last prizes in mountaineering, and to some degree, to some say, would say the last first, the last thing you could still get was to climb K2 in winter. So all the mountains, all the highest mountains in the world have been climbed. That happened in the 50s. And then they were all climbed without oxygen, which happened, over the next 20 years. And then the mountaineering world started trying to climb these same mountains in wintertime, which makes the danger,
Tenfold,
much
something
more,
like that.
much more.
Exponentially more dangerous.
Much more dangerous, and exponentially. Thanks. And they had those all those mountains had been climbed in winter, with the exception of K2. It had been
Oh,
attempted many, many times, but it
the
was too
last
damn
first. There's
hard,
your right. There's your
too damn
title.
dangerous.
So
So
that's the
all these
title.
guys came from all over the world to do
Okay.
it, and it became a kind of a competition, and
Oh
that's
boy.
sort of the setting of the story.
Oof. Oh wow. Okay, there's your story indeed.
Yeah.
Wow. And you
I could
got
tell
it.
you one other part
And you
about
got
it if you.
your you got well yeah, for sure. But you got to the story first and to make this it was there a competition among directors, filmmakers, to get this story, and you were the first to make it. And was it cold out when you did? No, I joke. I'm speaking with Amir Barlev, who is I will say at this point, a seasoned documentary filmmaker. The screening of The Last First Winter K2 will be having a screening and, it turns out, a Q&A with Amir himself at the Orpheum Theater as part of the Woodstock Film Festival's, I guess, off-season screening series at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, again, on Thursday, August 13th at 7 o'clock. First of all, I know that this has gone through a bunch of festivals, right?
Yeah, premiered at Sundance, and
That,
it's been
yeah.
making the rounds. And it's really, I should say, just to put in a plug for coming, in a few weeks to see it in Saugerties. It's great to see this film on the big screen,
Oh, yeah.
so that's been, and it's a, as we've been discussing a little bit here, it's a complicated movie, which lends to a good Q&A. We've had some really feisty conversations. And it just during the last one, a couple days ago in Wyoming, I found out that one of our principal characters died.
Oh,
You
brother.
mentioned him earlier, Nims. So
Right.
he was
Sorry to
caught
hear
in an
that.
avalanche like hours before our last the last screening, and then that added a
Oof.
different flavor to the conversation. And I would imagine we'll be talking about him again since he's been in the news a lot.
Right.
He died along with nine other
Oh, no.
climbers just next
Wow.
door to K2 a couple days ago, tragically. So that's fresh news and sad.
It is sad. That's horrible. And yet, probably sadly, not all that unique. But as you mentioned before, yeah, I think a Q&A would be whenever you're touching on films that encompass, ethical issues, you're going to always have a broad kind of spectrum of responses to the film. And that's the most you can hope for. Why make the film in the first place if that's not the outcome? Your job isn't to be the nice guy.
Well, I
Even
mean,
though you are a nice guy.
what can I say? There are lots of very important issues in the world that want to have a documentary treatment that's simple and direct. And, I love those films. I think they're important. They're among my favorite films, and I've never been able to make those kind of films personally,
Good.
because I'm interested in stories that I find myself a little bit ambivalent about and confused about. And this one is maybe the most complicated one I've ever tried to take on. And I think, as you said, it's wonderful when people come away with very different opinions,
Takes, yeah.
and certainly they're going to feel that way about Nims, for example, who is a very complex individual. And I'm just not in the business of sort of, turning people into saints or even villains. So that's just my films, yeah.
Doesn't, right, it's of no service to anybody.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. I hope it's a big turnout and people head over to the Orpheum on Thursday, August 13th and meet Amir himself. He's a great guy, turns out,
Oh,
and a
thanks.
great
I
talented filmmaker.
appreciate it. I
All right.
appreciate it. Thanks.
So let's close the garage on this conversation. I couldn't resist. Couldn't resist. You're listening to the Midday Show on 98.1 KZE.